This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 18, Episode 6. This is Writing Excuses.
An interview with Howard Taylor.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dong Wan.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Dan.
And I'm the guy with his feet in the fire.
Ha ha! Howard, I've been looking forward to this one. I'm going to ask you the hardest questions. So, I actually am not. I'm going to ask you some things about stuff that I assume you've been thinking about a lot, because I've been thinking about it a lot. You, as you've said several times, you've just finished your magnum opus, 20 years of daily, you know, web cartoons and all of these wonderful books and stories that have come from them. And I would love if you could condense into, you know, just a little nugget for us. How do you feel like you changed as a creator from the beginning of that to the end of that long process?
Ooh, three-part answer. Part one, I very quickly got better at all of the pieces that were involved. I became a better storyteller, just the craft. Better storyteller in terms of craft, better artist just in terms of composition, better humorist. I treat that as a different skill than the other two because it's such a specific mechanic. I got better at all of that. So that's part one. Part two is I realized, and it was when we first started recording Writing Excuses, I say first started, 2009, we had an episode, or maybe it was late 2008, where the question was, what have you learned from Writing Excuses this year? And my answer was, I have learned that I'm writing social satire, which I had been doing for 8 years now, but didn't know it. And once I knew it, I got a lot better at it because I recognized which jokes didn't fit, which jokes did fit, which scenarios did fit, which scenarios didn't fit. And that was actually a huge change for me. And similar types of changes have happened since then, where I have realized, oh, this is what I am doing. This is the name for the thing that I'm doing. So that's answer number two. Answer number three is the squishy one. And it is, I have learned that what I am doing matters. There have been people who have emailed me and said, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, I would wake up every morning and just not think I could go on and was ready to end it and then realized, but then I will miss tomorrow's Schlock Mercenary update. And I realized, okay, that's way too much for me to carry. Please don't put that on me. But I'm carrying it and I will. And thank you for staying with us. On you know, less life-threatening sorts of notes, people have described things that I've written that have woken them up in some way or another, that have changed the way they think about things. And even though I write silly stuff, it matters. I mean, it's social satire, so at some level, you step back and say, well, of course, social satire matters. That's how we understand where society is broken, blah, blah, blah. I don't go around thinking that that's my job, but at some level it is.
That's great. So I think that there's a phenomenon that I see in webcomics a lot, but I think it's more fair to say that every creator, every writer goes through this, where they decide that they have a really big idea and they want to get it out there into the world. And the reason this stands out to me in webcomics is because in that particular medium and art form, you're kind of tap dancing live in front of everybody, right? And so comics that started as joke a day kind of stuff or very small stories eventually hit this point, and I've seen this dozens and dozens of times, where they decide they want to tell a very long, very epic, very involved story. And I have never seen any of them pull it off as successfully as you can. And I wonder if you can point to any particular decisions or tools that helped you make that transition from joke a day into what was by the end of it an incredibly powerful and epic science fiction story time.
I remember picking up my sister-in-law, Nancy Fulda, from the airport, and being in the airport and just thinking about sci-fi and travel, and had this whole idea of, you know, what if the Wormgate network, the reason they want that as a monopoly is not because of money, but is because of information, because they are able to gate clone people and quietly interrogate them and find out all of the stuff and then just quietly murder the gate clones and nobody knows anything else. And so that idea came to me waiting in an airport. And in order to tell that story, I knew that I needed to lay down some pieces that were going to take longer. You know, up until that point, I'd had this idea that I was going to do it a little more like Bloom County did it in the newspapers back in the 80s, 80s, early 90s, which was Burke Breathed would run a story. And he was also doing social satire. He would run a story that ran for a week or maybe 2 weeks with Opus as interludes on Sundays. And so I had this idea that in terms of framework, yeah, I can keep people's attention with a story for a week or two. But the fact that on the internet, people could page back, you know, start from comic one and could just read it straight through. I thought, yeah, you know what? I can go for more than a week and week or two. I can go for maybe a month, but a month really needs to be the limit. and then I had this idea about, you know, the Terraport breaking the monopoly and the Wormgate and the cloning and all that. And by that time I had 5 or 10,000 regular readers who had stuck with me, and I decided, all right, I'll try making it a little longer. And as I'm sure most of you have experienced, when you're writing something that takes you several months to write, during the course of writing it, maybe I should ask it as a question, do you ever have ideas for other things to write? Because that was exactly how it went, is that, you know, I would ask, but then what happens? But then what happens? Oh, wait, there's this thing out in pop culture that I want to talk about because it's so much fun. And, oh, and then what happens? And if I mash these things together, and because I worked ahead, because I typically worked 3 weeks, minimum of 3 weeks, sometimes as much as 6 to 8 weeks ahead, I had time to mull these ideas over before I started throwing them down on the page. I was never drawing comics, you know, the day before they aired. That was that way lies madness.
I have a lot of questions to ask about what is next. But first, we are going to pause for our thing of the week.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WX. Hey, writers. Are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Schlock Mercenary ends with a trilogy of books called Mandatory Failure, A Function of Firepower, and Sergeant in Motion. The thing of the week is those three books, because coming up with the ending for the 20-year mega arc of Schlock Mercenary was super fun for me. But those three books online will really only take you about a day to read. And if you read them, we'll do, or even if you don't read them, we'll do a deep dive on that sometime later this year. So three books, Mandatory Failure, Function of Firepower, and A Sergeant in Motion, found at schlockmercenary.com. And the URL at the end of schlockmercenary.com is 2017-09-18, because it started on September 18th of 2017.
So, Howard, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about what comes next. You've finished a, you know, lifetime worth of webcomic science fiction, but you're still creating and you're still working and still doing new things. What comes next?
I was going to ask you guys that because I, oh boy, sometimes, honestly, sometimes I just don't know. In the tag cloud, the career and lifestyle episodes, I could talk about this for a whole 15 minutes, which is waking up in the morning and just not being sure what comes next. Because for a solid 18 years, 18 of the 20, I would lie down in bed, and as I drifted off to sleep, the voices in my head were talking about what happened next. You know, the story was unfolding for me all the time, and they're quiet now. I know that sounds kind of sad. They've stopped talking. I left them in a good place. I hope. I've done some prose writing, and it's gone well, but it got interrupted it got interrupted by stuff. There's lots of interruptions. For the next year, we are spending most of our time getting the final Schlock Mercenary books, 18, 19, and 20, getting them into print. And that's what's going to pay the bills for 2023 and most of 2024. By the end of 2023, Dan, I need to have an answer to your question, and it needs to be a good answer that's already generating revenue. So, yeah.
Sounds to me like you might need that answer a lot sooner than the end of 23.
Yeah, yeah.
Perhaps.
But so one of the things that I remember you talking about in a previous episode, Howard, is that when you started Schlock, that you kind of didn't actually really know how to draw. That you had this idea, you wanted to do it, and that you taught yourself the tools that you needed to move forward with the story. So I guess when you're thinking about, you know, what is next, you're playing with prose, but that's a tool you already know. Is there a tool that you're looking at and going, that's a really interesting tool. I would like to know more about that, please.
Short answer, yes. Longer answer, long COVID and chronic fatigue have constricted my energy envelope to the point that if the learning curve is steep enough, I can't afford to do it. I can't put in a 12-hour workday anymore. I can barely put in a 4-hour workday, a 6-hour workday of, you know, just sitting and getting the stuff done. It's difficult. I mean, one of the things that I've loved is when we were doing the role-playing game streams, for Typecast RPG, I loved creating Twitch overlays and the idea of streaming and having video conversations that mixed, I've got all the gear, I've got all the tools to, you know, do the pushing of buttons and having pictures change. I had this great idea for a Twitch stream that's Howard and his artist friends, dual cameras, you know, switching between various, I'm waving my hands around and the audio is just not going to pick that up. swapping the camera pictures, and the whole show would be titled Everybody Draws Better Than Howard Does. And I would have other artists on, and we would talk about what we were each working on, and I would shower them with praise, and we'd plug their work, and it would be silly fun. And I don't have the energy for that. I just don't have the energy for that. But I have had the energy for sitting down and writing, and I've got so many stories I want to tell that it is fair for me, I think, to prioritize and say, I would rather pick the medium, pick the techniques that I already know so that I can tell as many stories as I can. I can say as much of what I've got to say before my timeline eventually runs out than for me to try and learn something new and slow all that down. And I know that sounds kind of morbid and whatever, but maybe the CFS will get better and I'll be putting in 12-hour days when I'm 70. I'd love that.
I really like that, though, the idea of picking, you know, we do, I think, tend to go for a hard setting all the time. So, the number of writers, and I know, hello, listener, I'm speaking directly to you, the one that listens to the homework assignment and says, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to make it harder. Or they told me that you can't possibly do a story about zombie unicorns. I'm going to do a story about zombie unicorns and submit it to the editor who told me they don't like it. You know, I know that that is a temptation that happens to a lot of people, but I think there is something really beautiful about saying, I'm going to use this tool that I love, that is familiar and comfortable, and I'm going to tell the best stories I can with tools I already know how to use, and I'm just going to refine them.
Yeah, and that's... I think it was 2008, 2009, about the same time the podcast started. I really got on this kick of the focused practice, the whole concept of focused practice, the idea that you practice the things that you're bad at so that you stop taking shortcuts and going around them. You know, for me, it was I didn't know how to draw hands. And so I practiced drawing hands, ended up drawing Curtis Hickman's hands doing magic tricks in the first Extreme Dungeon Mastery book. And Curtis came back to me and said, Howard, these are the best illustrations of these tricks that exist anywhere, because all of the others are grainy photographs in black and white of an old man's hands, and you can't tell what's going on. So low bar, but I cleared it. and so I was on this kick. Now I look at things and I say, yeah, there are things that I am not good at, but there are a lot of things where I've spent years refining my skills, and yes, I could develop the skills further, obviously, but I'm good enough at it that maybe I can just focus on that. And now that path is the easy path, but it's not the shortcut. It's falling back on the craft that I've spent 20 years learning.
This is going to sound like a joke, but I mean it sincerely. I'm going to make low bar, but I cleared it, my mantra for goal setting for the year. Like, simple things that I can finish and feel good about myself. That's fantastic.
Under promise and over deliver.
Yes.
Howard, what's our homework today?
Okay. I want you, fair listener, who you are probably heavily focused on prose, I want you to take a moment and explore some of the tools in my toolbox. Take an index card for each key beat, each key moment in a scene that you've written, and illustrate that beat just using stick figures and smiley, frowny, angry faces, just whatever skills you've got, so that you have a camera aimed at a very scribbly, blurry version of that scene. And do that for the whole scene and see how that changes the way you eventually edit it or rewrite it or write what comes next.
All right, you have your homework assignment. You're out of excuses. Now go write. Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dongwon Song, Aaron Roberts, Dan Wells, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr. and mastered by Alex Jackson. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.